This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The WIP Morning Show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer in for Joe DeCamera. Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney hanging out. Dan Wilson back in the studio. Fran Rojas on site. We got a crew. Garrett Stubbs. Is anyone devastated? Are we happy? No. Is everyone good with Garrett Stubbs?
I feel sad for him.
Rafael Marchand will be the catcher until he gets hurt.
That's the point. He won't be down there probably.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad too, John. I'm okay with it, but I'm definitely not rejoicing about it.
No, I can't be happy about this. The guy was a true, a leader of leisure for the team, and I think he would call himself that, and sometimes that really helps a group of guys loosen it up. Yeah.
Especially over 162. I think the difference between baseball and other sports is it really can become a grind when you're doing every single day, your night day game after night game, and you're playing in the heat and all. And they're playing a kid's game, so I'm not going too far with it.
I hope someone who can fill that with.
You need
him
to lighten
gone.
It up when you're every single day.
I'm assuming Marsh and Stott do that.
It's
not a position they could keep doing that.
Pick the best backup catcher should be the backup catcher. Yes. I don't disagree.
You don't want him playing that
much. We know
that
Marchand is very talented.
I think Marchand is better than Stubbs. Oh, yeah. I think
but
it's the right
Stubbs
move.
Stubbs was also incredibly thorough in his preparation, which I always appreciated a lot. You know, he did as good a job as, well, I don't know. I was always very impressed that he seemed to be as dialed in as he was at the drop of a hat when that's a tough job. You know, we all know.
You always got to be ready.
Yeah, and it's thankless. And he seemed to always produce when called upon, which is crazy because you look at the guy, he doesn't look like
he's tiny.
A professional athlete, that's for sure.
So, and look, I, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer that sports are supposed to be fun. We choose to spend our time watching them. We choose to spend our money on it and all that. We should get some enjoyment out of it. I know we get a lot of angst out of it, too. But, Garrett Stubbs was fun, even if it didn't work out. All right, 215. I do think we will see him again, to your point, Rhea. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our buddy Patrick in Tabernacle. Pat.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing well, Patrick.
John Ritchie, good to hear you. You were out, you didn't hear me say because you're out, but dude, you're falling in love, and you start pulling Mondays and Fridays, taking time off.
in love.
Yeah, you did. You did pull a DeCamera with the Friday Monday move. That is the classic DeCamera right there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true, and it does.
Good for you.
You know what? It makes
Patrick,
sense.
You know, you've listened to the show long enough to know that there was five to 6 years where John refused to take days off. And Joe and I would literally plead with him, John, please, for your own good, take a couple days off and recharge, man. I'm happy.
And Devin, I'm I am no longer referring to you as the news. I'm a little disappointed. That
this is a momentous moment here, Patrick. I mean, you are probably the biggest news commenter, I would say. He's like the one keeping the nickname alive.
I love that nickname. I love the name. She self-created it. And like,
hi, this is the news.
She definitely did not lean into it, and that's okay. You know, but
no, I feel like we leaned into it for a while there. You know, it's kind of old now. Like, I think it's from like 2 seasons ago.
With Scoops, if someone calls you Scoops and if your nickname's the news, shouldn't you correct them? You're like, yo,
it's a fair point for Patrick. I'm not gonna lie there. You know,
so Patrick, are you saying this is a me problem? You're saying that I should correct the afternoon show and tell them to call me.
I love this. The news? Yes. Yeah.
Well,
I mean.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened with Scoops?
They call her Scoops on the afternoon show.
They call me Scoops Caney.
Yeah, the afternoon show really likes to just do their own thing.
Yeah.
You
know?
You notice that.
It's like they're not a part of the station with the rest of us or whatever. No big deal.
I can say I knew Devin when she was in the, you know, with the morning show.
That's true. And now she's just too big time. I get it, Patrick.
Well, Patrick, you can call me the news still if you want.
There we go. Well, we want you to own it.
Keep it alive.
Is what he's saying. He wants you to call yourself the news a little bit here.
But that's weird. I don't. I'm not going to call myself anything.
You could be like, "Listen, Scoops." That's not my nickname, guys. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Next time, I will.
If you do that, that would be pretty awesome. All right, Patrick. What do you got on the Phils?
Listen to Phils. You know, you're talking about Stubbs getting called back and stuff. I was thinking, you know, we actually have a little bit of depth at catcher, which you don't hear people say, "Oh man, this team's got great catcher depth." But we got a couple options. You know, if JT hits the shelf, I think.
Again, which is good.
It is, and you know the excitement for the season is back with me. I mean, here it is, supposed to be spring, and yeah, 40. You know, it's crazy weather today, but listen, it's the start of a season. We all have the hope that something might happen, but I just again, the bats have to do something. I was real pleased to hear Stott, his interview. You know, with not making any excuses, but just being honest with. Listen, that's a crazy injury to deal with. I was listening to that interview.
Totally. Man, well, Patrick, imagine. Yeah. I mean, the idea that he, to Richie's point yesterday, just the thought that he has to think, should I not swing? Like, just that second of thought goes through your head can completely ruin you as a hitter.
My gosh.
You know?
That added layer of complication for something that's already so complicated.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But you know what? Maybe the step that I thought and a lot of other people thought last year, he could take. Maybe this year, you know, I just want to, I like to.
I think he's going to have a great season. I think
I
he's
so.
Chomping at the bit for this season to just let me at him. Let me up there. I'll show you about an approach. Just let me up there healthy. Yeah.
And to people with concerns about the lineup, I mean, that is the kind of stuff that could really – like, obviously, we talk a lot about Trey Turner and how we need him to be better. But, again, Trey Turner was a 295 hitter last year. I know he was streaky, but, like, we need Bryson Stott to be good. You know, we need – you know, the guys at the bottom of the Max Kepler to step in and be much better than the like
what
that, that's what's gonna
him?
Take the
what do you expect
so
from
I
Kepler
really like Max
season.
Kepler.
I yeah, like what
I've
I
always
saw.
Liked him. I've owned him in fantasy a fair amount of times.
You're the one who tells me all the time don't get all caught
I'm not
because
of spring.
What you see at
I'm
the
not because of spring. I like Kepler I like Kepler from the Twins.
I thought he looked so exciting.
Yeah.
So different than everything we've seen in the outfield.
I mean, he had 31 home runs a couple years ago. Like, he's done that in the major leagues, in a season at 31 home runs in the major leagues. Like, he has proven that he could do – he's done it.
That kind of juice, that kind of power, he can bring that now.
Kepler's pretty legit. Like, I really like him. I'm fully in on Max
Kepler. Yeah. We get 30 home runs from our
left fielder.
But
think about what that does for the lineup. If everyone else – and we want Turner to be better, and I think he can and all that. But if everyone's just the same and Stott returns to what we thought he was and Max Kepler is good,
Stott
I mean, that
returns
alone,
and is better
yeah,
than
that
what
alone
we've seen.
Changes the lineup in a massive, drastic way. Pat, you
That's
got
an
answer for us?
I do. It's and I'm not going for winning answers. I got to think from the station about I got to pay taxes on all of my winnings.
Oh, no, Patrick.
I'm like, no, man.
So let's see what your attempt at a non-winning answer is.
No, I'm going to say almost nobody will know this reference. A Saucer Full of Secrets, an album, Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett. The song about a guy who lost his leg in the war, Corporal Clegg.
Oh, wow, that is a deep reference.
And it has a kazoo. Listen, it's got a kazoo jam.
Oh, I love kazoos. I'm a big Syd Barrett guy, one of the more underrated, I think, people.
I don't think I've heard the word kazoo in, like, 10 years,
You don't
longer.
See kazoos in popular music that often.
No.
You know, you'll see
In cartoons, you'll see them.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
I don't think it's a
like
real
the best,
instrument.
It's not like the best sound. It's, not, like a, it's not like a melodic sound.
It's like a child instrument. Yeah, it's like a...
A like way a, for air to sound differently as it passes through something, and that's pretty much it, you know?
No, it's like a wood block or something. Like, it's a, something that's very simple and sort of kid-like, childish.
Well, let me tell you, a little piece of advice for parents out there, especially for if you have a six-year-old
Don't
or someone.
Don't get the six-year-old.
Yeah, it's a recorder we got her, and let me tell you.
Oh, no.
Let me, and it's one of those things where it's like, yo, awesome.
Don't
you
go wanna,
you want to play music? That is so cool. Like, I support that. And then it's like the next 10 days. Yeah.
Nothing
just
with
recorder
sounds.
Has she
ears.
Played a Hot Sometimes Cross Buns on it yet?
We're working on it.
Sometimes okay. that recorder.
She likes to play what she wants to play.
Sometimes that recorder might find its way up on top of the bureau. Every once in a while. Where's the recorder,
oh,
Daddy? I don't know, Zoe.
I'll look for it.
I don't know.
Where was
Zoe?
The last place
I've
you had
looking.
It?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's and, a place. She's only 3 feet tall. Yeah. Like, she can't see on top.
See, this is the kind of stuff I needed. Thank you very much. All right, 215-592-9494.
Oh, you'll learn the stuff like Clark's learning now, that all the stuff that I told him. Like, he didn't want us to get rid of his crib, even though he hadn't been in it in 2 years.
Oh, yeah, we're going through that with Zoe, too. Yeah.
Oh, no, you know what we did? It was the one down the shore. We were back home. My brother called and said, put me on speaker. He's like, someone broke into the house. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did they steal? The crib. I'm like, the crib?
That's great.
Clark's like, you lied to me? I'm like, oh, 100%. Somebody broke in and stole the crib.
Whatever it takes. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take your calls next. Plus, Elliot Shore Parks is going to join us at 7:30 to talk birds. And you can get in on the birds, the Phillies, and more. And again, plus I mentioned this before, coming up next segment, you're going to hear some audio from Marcus Morris that's going to make you angry. And it's not something you didn't know or expect, but it's just confirmation on something that's going to drive you crazy. What is it? You'll hear that next. It's the morning show. We're coming right back.
Here's what's happening at Borgata, where we are today and every Friday. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player. Open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars, live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa doesn't stop. Start planning your getaway today. Visit TheBorgata.com for more details.
Yeah. There's a little Counting Crows in the house.
Love it.
Dan Wilson running the ones and twos back there. Nice job. How about a Richie cup of coffee reference, too? Who was expecting that after our coffee conversation? That was good stuff. Did you not hear that, John? You didn't have your headphones on yet. The Stager coming back did a little John Richie Folgers play.
Ooh.
The best part of waking up is a little Richie in your cup.
No
How about
way.
That? Yeah.
How about that?
I know.
And now you've poured yourself coffee, no?
I did.
Can I just say,
and lots of half and half.
You guys know we have the most interesting conversations with Richie throughout these commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Honestly, sometimes I wish that you'd just say the things that you say to us off air, on air, so it'd be wildly entertaining. But we're standing over by the coffee cart, and he's like, do you ever just drink half and half, like plain? I'm like,
I do when I was a child.
No, he's like, I do all the time. Like the little packs,
do you really?
They're good. I think I'm gonna pour some.
John,
right,
you are 100% right.
That
you, it's
right
so good.
So I did it when I was a child. I remember doing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, when I was like five.
Right now, there's the big paper. I don't know what size it is.
A quart.
It's a quart. Yeah. Of half and half, and it's taking all of my
no
self-restraint
way.
To not. Pound that.
Wow.
No, see, I won't drink it out of that,
it.
John, but the little things, I'll drink them.
Oh, the tiny
oh,
little
Oh, they're so
ones.
Good.
Oh, and even if it's completely fake, it might not even be half
the
and
fake
half.
Stuff
it
I don't
be,
like.
It might be but, coffee, yeah. like, it might
coffee
be fake
made or
hazelnut
something.
Flavor. Yeah, I'll drink those.
See, the flavor I can
prefer,
get.
I prefer
again,
the half and half.
I did this when I was like 6 years old. And
well, why'd you stop?
I don't know, actually. That's a good point. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I was
it's
about
really
to.
Good.
You know, I,
it's a little explosion of flavor right there on the table for you.
215.
I always deplete that entire little dish. Like, I'll drink
Do you really
one
will?
In the dish.
Wow.
Wow. Every single one.
That's so funny. I can't believe
and
that.
And this is before I drank coffee. I would just drink those.
So I've been a coffee drinker for forever. People say I like a little coffee with my half and half.
Wow, yeah. I mean, so I like white. Half and half in coffee.
It's
like,
my coffee's white.
Yeah, I'm not like a black coffee guy. I just won't drink the half and half on its own. That's where I...
It's pretty good. You should try it.
Maybe I have to.
And by the way, if you add that to your eggs, if you add instead of milk...
Oh, to cook it. Yeah, I know about that.
Scramble eggs.
Yeah,
that I know about. It makes them even better.
Yeah, nice and fluffy and all that. Yeah. No, that's a good call. So I'm going to try it. Maybe I'll try drinking one. Well, maybe I'll do it during the break. We'll see what happens.
Let's all do a shot of half and half during the break.
A shot of half and half. Let's get crazy.
We
got a quart.
I like it. By the way, shout out.
Half a quart.
Sue and Claire coming to hang out today. Shout out to Sue and Claire. Big fans of the morning show. Very excited to hang out with Sue and Claire this morning as they watch the show. Twitter poll question of the day. Sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley together. Let's drive. ArminChevy.com. We're asking today. And you can comment on the phone lines as well on this at 215-592-9494. Who is the Eagles' biggest competition in the NFC after the big first wave of free agency teams are making moves? Who's the biggest contender in the NFC? The Lions, the Commanders, the Niners, or the Rams? So I think I'm with Richie when I
Horse Bears.
Yeah,
real dark. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But you think Ben Johnson could turn around like that?
I think Ben Johnson's going to turn it faster.
Yeah, Caleb Williams is talented. If he can get they have talent there. Like I do think of all the
teams how many close score games
up,
did they
they're
lose?
They
had a few, yeah,
a lot.
And honestly, that Hail Mary felt like it just ruined their season. They were never the same.
It would ruin my
interesting.
Life.
Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your head on a swivel. We're talking NFC. I said our biggest rivals, the
Commanders.
I do think the Rams are going to bring up the rear and be best when it matters most.
You can't count them out in a
late
game.
Season.
As we saw,
they're going to be timing it up just like we're talking about. The Phillies need to time their offense up in the postseason. I think the Rams, Sean McVay, Devontae Adams, Matthew Stafford, they will be timing up their offense just when it matters most for the postseason. So I do worry about them a little bit. But then...
Why are the Vikings listed?
They were another one I thought of, but it's because of the quarterback.
Okay. I don't know.
That was my thought, too, though, because they could be good again. I mean, he's a great coach. J.J. McCarthy's won at every
from
level.
That injury.
Yeah. It was more of a space issue with the amount of... I actually thought we did two polls, but probably not worth it.
I like the Lions, just because, I mean, there is a concern.
They're a bit underrated right now.
Yeah, they
the
lost both their offensive defense coordinator, but if they get all their guys healthy... They were decimated and still finished with that great record.
Mm-hmm.
Literally decimated defensively. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, Aiden Hutchinson, most of the
He's
year.
He's their best defensive player.
Correct.
No, I think the Lions, I was going to say Commanders are probably my choice, but I do think we're underrating the Lions a bit. They are still, I mean, they were a 14-win team last year, 15-win, whatever
15,
it was.
Maybe.
So, I agree. But we do know, we just saw it, losing the coordinators. That can really hurt you.
Especially when they're that good.
When they're that good. They both get, head coach jobs,
Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, they're very impressive. And look, with the Commanders thing, too, I will say, and I know Jaden Daniels was the best rookie quarterback we've seen, but look, C.J. Stroud a year ago, we were all like,
regressed.
Oh, my God, that's what happened. Jordan Love, what a year Jordan Love had. He's going to be even better. I feel like there's always like a little step back before
they go. It's
called
you get tape on them.
Yeah, and then they figure it out and whatever. So I do think there's that potential with the Commanders, too. All right, 215-592-9494 if you want to chime in on that. And what's your biggest reason for optimism, your biggest reason for pessimism with the Phillies? Again, we are 6 days away from the season starting, which is crazy. Let's go back to the phones and talk to our buddy JP in Plymouth Meeting. What up, JP?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm excited. You know, we're less than a week away from the Phillies. I am nervous because, like I've always said, we progress every season. But, John, you did it yesterday and you did it again today. Your little hype message for the Phillies, like, you get me motivated. You get me excited. I am excited. I really am. I can't wait. I haven't been this excited for the Phillies
Way better than everyone's giving credit. Let's not forget how talented we are. Yeah. It's a big deal, man.
And as far as the Eagles, like, I'm going to go with the Lions because we didn't face the Lions. We all thought we were destined to go to Detroit for the NFC Championship and play it there. and we never got a chance to play Detroit. So I'm still thinking that they're going to be our toughest competition next season.
Yeah, well, Ben Johnson is a big reason why their offense was as exciting and dynamic. And yeah, I just don't know. I'm not a big Jared Goff fan, never have been. I think that he'll give you what the offensive coordinator allows. So I don't know what to expect right now. And maybe you're right. We'll see. You know, halfway through the season, we'll reassess. Right now, Jaden Daniels, holy cow, man. That dude is
awesome.
All that, and they know it. They know it in Washington. And they're saying, you know what? We're just going to spend. We're going to add. We're gonna give this kid every weapon he needs, man, and we're going to protect him.
Well, we always hear the biggest advantage in sports is having a great rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, that you could just do so much more from a roster perspective, and Washington seems like they're trying to take advantage of it. And it's a smart move.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Move. It's a smart move. Washington doing smart things in football. I'm not.
Who knew?
I'm not used to it. All right, JP, give us an answer for a fictional service person.
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan is a big,
awesome job.
Yeah, that is a massive answer. I was waiting for Lieutenant Dan.
That's my leader.
Can I make a request?
Might be. Yeah.
Can callers say what it's from?
It's Forrest Gump.
Okay. See, Devin.
Devin.
Everybody knows it's from. You've
never
seen
that.
Devin.
I've seen Forrest Gump once, and I didn't like it.
Wow.
And
yeah, me too. I only saw it once and didn't like it. But yeah, Lieutenant Dan's kind of pretty famous.
He's pretty famous.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, but that's okay. How about this? You just let us know if you need a little. We can.
Well, no, because then you're going to yell at me if I
would
don't
never.
Know.
No, we won't.
You know what? We are a little harsh on her.
I enjoy
with not getting the movie
references.
See, what
you're missing is that it makes my day every time these things happen. It's enjoyable.
We need to be
to
more encouraging
and to tell you about these cool things that you should know.
See,
about.
See, I'm just glad that Elliot Shore Parks is on the line because he's the one other host at WIP
That's
who
true.
Understands my struggle
well, let's
with
ask
not
him.
Knowing these
is
old
it,
movies.
It's a good
Does
question. We're going to find
understand?
Out. No. See, here's the difference, and it's a compliment to Devin, is that Devin actually cares about not knowing these things. That's a big difference. Let's go out on the guest line and talk to our guy, Elliot Shore Parks. Do you know who Captain Dan is, Elliot?
Well, now I do from Yeah. I also thought you said Spartaco, so I was a little confused for a little bit, but I guess you said Forrest Gump is where he's from.
Yes, not Spartaco, did you think I said?
Oh, my God, get your
Wait,
ears cleaned out with the camera.
Hold on, Elliot, what is Spartaco?
I just figured it was some movie from the
80s. Do you
80s,
mean you Spartacus from, like, the 60s?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Wow, so, Elliot, you've seen less than what... Like, you've seen less than Joe DiCamera?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen less?
Way less.
Yeah.
What's like, wrong see, with you?
Elliot,
what were you doing?
Elliot generally has a rule that if it was made before 2000, he's not particularly interested in it.
Oh, come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
man. Before 2000?
It's the worst rule that anyone has in my life.
I have gotten into movies from the 80s because I have found
proud
them very, like, relaxing and, like, you know, you can tweet to them and stuff.
Proud.
But,
what?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So...
Oh my!
How are we supposed to pivot from that to like Eagles, Elliot? Like, come on, man, you could do better. All right, 215-592-9494. Get online now. Come to the calls after Elliot.
I bet Elliot could beat Joe in a race, though.
Absolutely. I mean, Elliot like, works in out, sport keeps in also. Shape, and all that. Yeah.
Elliot, is there anything?
I would love Joe in a race. Yeah.
Did you do sports in high school?
Yes, I did lead my JV soccer team in goals for 4 games, but then I quit. So I was good.
So he is basically mini Joe DiCamera, is basically.
Exactly.
He's like a slightly more athletic version of Joe DiCamera. Yeah.
But he took it a lot farther than Joe did.
He did. Yeah, he actually played in games.
Kudos to you.
Kudos to you. All right, Elliot. The first wave of free agency is over. Obviously, the teams will look different by the time you get to training camp in the season. But like the biggest, the vast majority of the big moves have been made so far in the NFL. Where are you at with the Eagles right now? I lost a lot of guys. Obviously, you know we trust Howie, and they've made some nice under the radar moves with the like Ojulari signing. But overall, big picture, how do you feel about the Eagles right now after like the main first wave of free agency is officially over?
Yeah, I think they're in a really good place. During free agency, so often the discussion becomes like who they lost or who they gained, who they have, who they don't have. But like ultimately, the guys we've talked about this week are probably not going to have a huge impact on next season. Next season is going to be about how good is Jalen, how the job Nick does, AJ, Devontae, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Jalen Hunt. And I still feel really good about those guys. Obviously coming off of a Super Bowl, we saw the challenges in both 18 when they won it and 23 when they didn't, that it can be hard, obviously, to play that next season. But just having been around this group of guys, players, coaches, I really think winning the Super Bowl is going to catapult them more than they're going to deal with any type of hangover. I think a big season's coming from Jalen. So as much as, we can talk about the roster is better or worse than it was when they lined up the last time they played, I would lean better just because I think Jalen's going to be better, and I think that matters so much more than all the, roster pieces we've talked about.
Wow. Hey, I am excited about a guy that we were talking about earlier in the week, Lewis Cine. Are other people excited about Lewis Cine?
No, a former first-round pick. There is some pedigree there, but had a big injury. Elliot, is this a move that they're like he actually could turn into something, or is it just kind of a total flyer?
Yeah, the reason I love talking football, Rich, is because he will ask about the most fringe roster guy that I'm excited to talk about, and he's excited to talk about, but. Look, I was in on Lewis Cine in the draft. I mean, just being around him in the few weeks that he was in Philadelphia, you can see why there is so much potential and excitement for him as a safety prospect. I mean, he's built like a linebacker. He's obviously familiar with all the Georgia guys, so we've seen how that helps, obviously, now with Aziz there as well. So, former first-round pick, I don't think he ever really got a chance. Like, he got hurt, and then he got cut, so... I think that part of the reason, not a large part, but part of the reason they're willing to move on from Chauncey is I do think they're excited about Sidney, but also Lewis Cine, I think is definitely a thing to keep an eye on.
Me too. I mean, it's legitimate. This is a thing. So,
and it was only a couple years ago. He was the 30th pick in the draft, right? Was it two years ago or something?
That is
recent.
Teammates with these players.
Rich, can I tell you something?
Georgia.
You get me a little excited about Lewis Cine. We'll be Lewis Cine buddies together.
We should be excited about him. I'm telling you, he's going to be a part of this. So, is there anything new that we can gather on any of the stuff we were talking about recently? Dallas Goedert was one of those things.
Yeah, it's a great
question.
Goedert, where's that at?
We know we love him. We don't know if he's going to be around. Is there anything new?
Yeah. So at this point, I think you're probably looking at a draft trade or a post-draft decision on what they're going to do with him. I do think there was momentum, and they tried to get something done in terms of a trade during those first few days of free agency, but obviously it didn't happen. And now you're at a point where a lot of teams are going to, sit back, look at what they have after this first wave of free agency, and then look at the draft. And it is a strong tight end draft. So I think the Eagles' best bet at this point is you sit, you wait, and maybe a team that thinks they're going to get a tight end in the draft doesn't. And then that offer for Goddard, which is probably not going to be much, but maybe it goes up a little bit. So the waiting game, I think, is probably where they're at with this now. But also, there's the June 1st cut ramifications. If they trade or cut him prior to June 1st, I believe they lose around $9 million in cap space. If they do it after June 1st, I think they gain around $5 million. So there is financial benefit to waiting as well.
Jeez, well.
And both their June, they're not, I don't think they're going to cut him, but both their June 1st curse are, excuse me, sorry, I'm struggling to get out. June 1st cuts are used up with Darius Slay and James Robert.
Drop of the week, what just happened?
Well, I didn't actually say it. It was like it was just pho came out, which is allowed to be said on the radio. But anyway, go ahead, Elliot.
Yes, both June 1st cuts, which is how you say it right there.
There you go. Thank you. Yes.
You nailed it. You did awesome at saying that.
June 1st cuts is not the easiest.
June 1st cuts.
Yeah, that's what I get.
June 1st cuts.
Yeah, it's almost like we talk for a living.
So, I know, right? What a thought.
Hey, so Tyler Steen, it feels like we're just, for now, Tyler Steen is the right guard, right?
So I think if they were to practice today, Tyler Steen would be with the first team offense. And I think when, you know, we get a chance to watch OTAs, which aren't even that far away now, which is crazy, you know, he'll probably be up there first with the right guard as well. But ultimately, I think they want Kenyon Green to win this job. Ooh. I think internally they view Tyler Steen as a high-level backup, low-level starter, and we've seen that through their actions. Last year, Mekhi Becton took that job from him, and I think they are probably expecting Kenyon Green to do the same thing. So obviously Kenyon Green, I think, has a wide variety of outcomes here. Like, he has not played well in the NFL, but neither had Mekhi Becton. So Tyler Steen kind of raises the floor, but I think Kenyon Green raises the ceiling at that position.
Holy cow. All right. And then we don't seem to ever talk about our third wide receiver ever.
Yeah. Good point. Really. Jahan Dotson, a third-round pick they traded for him.
He did some stuff at the end of the season.
He made catches in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, he almost scored the first touchdown.
Yeah. Is he good enough? Like, are they just, hey, you know, because he was pretty good.
Yeah, he got better as the season went on, I would say. He made a couple, like that catch, was it in the Commanders game he made where it was like kind of bothering? Yeah. It was a really nice play. What's the
his
deal with
John Dotson?
He's
there, but his performance as an NFL player has not been.
Is
Are we just expecting he'll pick it up?
Is it also possible that coming in to start the season and you know, just jumping right in, that with a full off season to train with him, that could be something that lifts him up as well?
Yeah, and I mean, remember, he had the first touchdown of the playoffs, too. Like, he caught that touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
So he did have, you know, almost a way better postseason combined in those two games than he did the entire regular season. So I think certainly with a full off season, you know, he can probably, you know, he'll work out with Jalen this offseason. He'll throw with Jalen. He'll come into OTAs. He'll do training camp. All that will help. But ultimately, we're just never going to talk about the third receiver as a big statistical guy here. Like with AJ, with Devontae, with Saquon, you know, we'll see about Dallas. Like, I don't think you can say Jahan Dotson was a complete disappointment, because it wasn't like he was getting the ball thrown to him left and right and dropping it. He wasn't really getting it. Now, there were those few games where he had an opportunity, you would think, to play a larger role, and that didn't happen. But this is the benefit of winning the Super Bowl. You know, when you have that catch in the Super Bowl, you have the touchdown against the Packers. I think the Eagles probably look at that trade and go, you know, it wasn't maybe the disaster it felt like right away. So I just think as a third receiver, you're never going to see a ton of, you know, ton of targets or a ton of yards from that spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with a full offseason. And look, if Goddard is moved, then, you know, maybe he does get more targets and all that. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, Elliot, last question before we get out of here, then we're coming back to the phones. What's next, you know, for Howie? If you had to, you know, put on your predictor cap, what do you think the next move or trade or thing that happens is?
Well, so the next thing for the Eagles is the NFL annual meeting. So those are next week, or, you know, week and a half from now in Florida. So Howie, Jeffrey, Nick will all be down there. We'll hear from all of them, including Jeffrey, which obviously is, you know, we only hear from him really once or twice a year. So for the Eagles, that's the next big thing on the calendar. But in terms of the roster construction, I think they're in a really good place. You know, they can kind of sit back, see if maybe some of the prices of free agents that are still out there drop lower. They're not in a desperate situation. Yes, they probably need to add a veteran at safety, I would say, is probably like a one roster thing they do need. But there's no rush for that. So, I think they can relax and kind of look forward to this trip to Florida in a week and a half.
All right. Elliot Shore Parks, check him out on Twitter. The Go Birds podcast, check it out.
Elliot, have you ever run a 40?
Yes, I actually did run a 40 on the Lincoln Financial Field.
Ooh, so like no big deal. What was the time?
So I vaguely remember it was like a 5.4, but
that's pretty good for you. I would you would definitely beat the camera. Well, the camera's over 6 for sure.
I bet Joe's like
7 maybe. Like
I bet he's like a 6.6.
Yeah,
6.6.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to beat 7 seconds at a 40. You have to be like really slow, right?
I don't know.
A 4 in high school. I was like a 5.4, 5.6 guy, like somewhere there. I wasn't super fast, but
Joe leans the wrong way. So yeah. That's commendable, Elliot.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, no. Well,
you and Jimmy would be a good race, actually.
Yeah,
you guys. Would
no,
be...
I think Jim. I thought you meant Jimmy Kempke, but
oh no.
Well, the funny part about it was when I ran the 40, it actually was me and Jimmy Kempke. And while we were running it, Malcolm Jenkins came and, like, halfway through saw we were doing it and just literally, like, just watching the difference between him running
great.
And us running. Yeah,
I'm sure.
Oh, man, that's tough.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's a tough one right there.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, talk to you.
All right, pal.
See ya.
There you go. Can you imagine? Yeah, it's like...
Like feeling good about yourself if you're winning a little bit, and then an NFL, like Malcolm Jenkins, too, of all people.
I always describe
that's what's
it...
crazy.
Like, so this is a feeling that Devin, Rhea, and I have, and John, you had it at some point in your life, but this is not something you experienced as early as we did. That feeling when you realize you're not faster than everyone, like when you're like, you know, because every kid, like my daughter thinks she's the freaking, you know, Michael Johnson or Usain Bolt. Like, and you were though for a long time, you were faster than everyone. Like,
when you
think you're faster and you're running next to someone and they just pull away from you, it is like the most demoralizing feeling.
It wasn't for me as much only because I ran track and cross country.
Oh, yeah,
so
I forgot you did. Yeah.
I ran distances. So,
care about the sprints as much.
You were there to outlast people.
You know that the camera, when we started our show, actually maybe he still does. He believed that if we raced,
Dude, I mean, he thinks he'll be you at one-on-one. He thinks he'll be you at one-on-one.
He
doesn't understand that you could have literally never picked up a basketball before and still beat him at one-on-one. Like, and it's the same thing he's doing with Fritz. It's like, the guy doesn't understand the stamina, like, he's going to fall on the ground 2 points in. Like, does he not understand
he
how you would just, you would bully, you would bully him
against,
in basketball?
Yeah. Like, exactly. That's why I was amazed that he agreed to the one-on-one part with Fritz.
It's like he doesn't care about
basketball.
Size.
He said, yeah, we'll play to 11.
Stamina.
I'm
none
all
of it matters.
It.
It's like, I'm shooting. I'm a shooter.
Fritz can block your shots,
yes.
Joe.
Yeah, but you know,
you can't run or jump. He can hold his hand in the air.
He's
going to
be begging
shot.
For fouls, though, so he can just take his free throws. Like, that's what he's going to do.
Right.
That's why he's open
free throws.
To it. He's going to try to worm his
free
way
throws.
Around.
No. There are no free throws. It's one-on-one.
No.
So you can get the ball if you get fouled, but there's no free throws. Like, we don't.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We're not giving
I think you should just make fouls not a thing in it, too, so Joe can...
Can get beat down.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea.
Like
he's
that.
Definitely going to try something tricky like that.
Absolutely.
Try to find some loophole.
Well, we just don't want to give him a loophole. Like, that's the issue. We don't want to be the ones to create the loophole because we know he's the king of freaking loopholes. All right, 215-592-9494. We're coming up in a couple minutes. Some Marcus Morris audio that is going to make John Ritchie's blood boil. I just know it. That's coming up in just a minute. Let's go back to the phone and talk to our buddy Ed in Phoenixville. Eddie.
Good morning team, minus the camera.
What's up?
How's everyone doing?
Doing great.
How's everyone doing?
I'm still digesting the, and you're speaking about, like, you know, creamer in your coffee. I'm wondering what Elliot put in his coffee, but with the whole Kenyon Green over Tyler Steen take. Now I'm just trying to get my head around that.
So I'm not. All I'll say, Ed, is that they did invest in Kenyon Green by trading for him. He is a former first-round pick, like Mekhi Becton type thing. And to his point, like, they don't love Steen. Like, their actions.
They don't. It's clear.
Like, Mekhi Becton doing what he did last year.
Like,
that really helps the mindset that you can reform a former first-round pick with great success. Like,
as long as they're coachable.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah,
we don't know that about
that
Green.
Again.
I totally agree. And look, teams tell you what they think of players by the moves they make and how much they play them.
Yeah.
They've told
Jeff
you.
Jeff Stoutland is going to reform this former first round player again, and they're counting on it.
And look, it might not happen. Maybe he can't get back there or whatever. But I do agree with Elliot. I think that in a perfect world, the Eagles want Kenyon Green to be their guard.
Yeah. I guess we just have to see how Kenyon Green develops. I mean, you know, yes. Steen was the starter until he got hurt last year, and then the rest is history. So I think he's going to be better with reps.
That's not exactly true. He was the starter until they signed Becton, and then it was a competition. As soon as they decided to move Becton to guard, it was like he was the starter by situation. There was no one else there.
And then he never gave it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really don't think they are as high on Steen as you are.
Yeah, their actions, you know, believe what people tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you got on the Phils? One quick idea. Curious about the change of approach that everyone's seeing. How is Bryson Stock going to do? How's, Nick Castellanos, who's flailing at less pitches, Trey Turner? I'm really kind of curious, and it's kind of I haven't heard much about him, but, you know, Brandon Marsh went from, in 2023, his OPS against lefties was not great, but it was functional, and it was historically bad last year to the point to where you just couldn't hit him against lefties. Like, I want to see kind of as if there's something that they tweak in his approach. Like, I'm not expecting a lot, but
well,
you know,
and I think the biggest thing they have to do is let him face lefties, you know, and it's one of those things where he will never get better at hitting left-handed pitches if he doesn't get a chance to try and hit left-handed pitching, you know, and it's a self-fulfilling thing. Like, so it's one of the, like, they have to decide whether they want Brandon Marsh to be an everyday player, whether they believe he can be an everyday player. And then if so, you got to give him a little runway, you know?
Do you believe he can be
our
center fielder? Do you believe he's the best player for that position?
I think,
is he better than Rojas?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think he's better than Rojas. Obviously not defensively, but offensively.
As an overall player.
Yeah, as an overall player. But look.
Is he better enough that he should be that every day?
I need to say, to Ed's point, I don't know till I see if he is improving against left-hand pitching. Wow. And they haven't faced him enough against
left-hand pitching. That's all it is, because he's a pretty solid defender.
He's a fine center fielder, you know, like slightly above average maybe. But, Ed, to your point, like, I'm with you. I want to see them go into the season and say Brandon Marsh is going to get, like, three-fourths of the starts in center field. We're going to play him against lefties, maybe not every single lefty, but this guy's going to get a chance to prove whether he can do it. And then that sets you up for not to, you know, believe in Dombo at the trade deadline, but, you know, then you know heading into the deadline if you need to make a move there or something.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Eddie, you got an answer for us?
It's a trap. Admiral Akbar.
Oh, that's a trap.
That is pretty
good. I don't know what that's from.
Thank you.
Are you kidding me?
That is so disappointing. Yeah.
Neither of them.
Take a guess, Rhea. The one you normally don't know and you're like, I've never seen it. And everyone else.
Is it Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Okay. To me, they're both one and the same.
They could not be more different, first and foremost, Star Wars and Star Trek. My wife, Emily is a big Star Trek fan. She would be very mad at you for saying that.
No, I do that to people because I know it annoys them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care that much.
Not familiar.
So you're just trolling people when it comes to
Star Wars. 100%
I
troll.
Seems like, yes. Anyway, Admiral Akbar, it's a drop. It's from Star Wars.